screen, and I'm going to read again a scripture that you're going to, you've heard some of it in the service, you're going to hear it many times through the season of Advent and through Christmas. Some people would take this as the most significant passage in the verse we're going to look at, verse 14, as the most significant verse in the New Testament, written by John, very much with Greeks in mind, to explain to them how the God of the Jews was also the God of all peoples. So John wrote, "In the beginning, the Word," and that's the same word as Logos, "already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on everyone. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him, so he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. God spoke about him. He cried out, this is the one, sorry, John spoke about him. He cried out, this is the one I was talking about when I said, he comes after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born. Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Some of you may never have heard that passage read. Some of you may have heard it many times. If you could have the slide when you've got that, Jim. It's just one PowerPoint slide today. Our theme for the year is the Jesus we never knew. And today we're thinking just a little bit about verse 14. Jesus who is full of grace and truth. What that statement meant, that Jesus became a human being, the Logos became a human being. And so we've been aiming this year, each of us individually, but also together, and we find that very difficult. We are in such an individualistic world, but us together as a community to become better friends with Jesus. Some might say that's presumptuous, but in John's Gospel chapter 15, Jesus says, "I call you friends." That was those who believed in him and received him into their lives. He calls us friends. And Christian disciples, Christians, are those who love and obey Jesus. You're not a Christian because you're born in Britain. The same as if a car is in a garage, a person is born in a garage, it makes them a car. You are not a Christian just by being born in the United Kingdom. Okay? It's that simple. All right? There's no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. You can't be a Christian because your parents are Christians. You can live in a Christian culture. That is not what a Christian is. You need to be born of the Holy Spirit of God, and you need to believe in Jesus and receive him, which means there's an awful lot of people that are very confused about this. And as Lynn said to us, 96% of the population of the United Kingdom probably really don't want to know or are confused. And I've certainly been in that position, I assumed, because my parents were what they were, and I was in a Christian country, I was a Christian, and it was really enlightening to discover I wasn't. The real Jesus is the one we want to know about, not the Jesus of sentiment and other people's invention. That's terribly important, because what is depicted at Christmas is so often sentimental schmaltz, to be honest, which means mush and mesh. And I said to Becca to choose, Becca to choose carefully the video. I said, have you seen the video? No. This one she's seen because she saw it ages ago. I said, is it one we want to show to our children, or is it just schmaltz? You know, and we really need to be saying things about Christmas that are true about Jesus. Doesn't mean that Christmas isn't a fun time. It should be, rather than just a stressful time. We want to know both the historical Jesus, and we want to know Jesus experientially. And that's interesting in our conversation about angels. Many of us would have said, I believe in angels, they're spoken of in the Bible, but I've not experienced them. And I think that's really important. Lots of people have read about Jesus in the Bible, but they've never experienced him. And to know Jesus is not just to know about him, but to experience Jesus. By the way, you don't necessarily have to have experienced angels to be a Christian. You can say, I believe in them, but I may not have personally experienced them. But that may be something that you do experience at some point. We encounter God in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the clear understanding of Christian people. That is how we encounter God, in the person of Jesus Christ as he is revealed in Scripture. Here in John's Gospel, in the prologue, the bit that comes right at the beginning, the word, or the logos, is spoken about. And it's very important that John picked that word, logos. And as you read it, you realise with John's Gospel, it resembles very much the very beginning of the Bible, where it talks about in the beginning. And John is, in many ways, has chosen to do that, because Jesus was there at the beginning of creation and long before that, and Jesus is now coming into the world, and that's the point that John wants to make. In the beginning. He takes us back, therefore, to the very beginning of time, when the Logos was already active, when Jesus was already active. Jesus existed before he was ever placed in Mary's womb or ever placed in a manger. Jesus was active, the Logos was active, with Father God and Spirit in creation, making the world. And John tells us that this Jesus was active in creation, and now he is active in making everything new. And it will be Jesus that calls this world, this heaven and earth, to an end, and makes a new heaven and a new earth. This passage says that he is the bringer of light, not just to a few people. A teacher is brilliant. If they're a good teacher, they can bring light and understanding to children, give them a hunger for knowledge. But Jesus brings light to humanity, the whole of the human race, in every generation, billions upon billions of people. Why? Well, because we are living in the dark. We were talking in a group I was in last week, how 125 million people were slaughtered through wars in the last 100 years or so. People are living in the dark. Humanity is not improving. Individuals may, but humanity is not progressing or evolving towards a greater morality. And the word logos means not just the actual word that God has spoken, but that Jesus is the very ideas and thoughts behind God's word. So creation was dreamt up and planned with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It says in verse 10 that the world did not recognize the eternal light for who and what he is. And people still do not recognize Jesus for who and what he is. He may be much admired, but rarely followed. Not everybody welcomed the light. We know right from the beginning they sought to destroy him, the infant Jesus. But some did receive the light as the person, Jesus of Nazareth, and became true children of God. And whereas it's true that all human beings, in a way, are children of God, we are rebel children. And we need to be born again to become true children of God. we thought, as we were thinking about encountering Jesus, of that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which said that we behold God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's what begins to change us, to transform us. And in the Bible, when the glory of God is spoken about, and in the Old Testament it would have been called the Shekinah glory, it described God's presence. That's what the word meant, glory. God has come close to you. Glory, that's what the word meant. The presence of God has come close and visibly present. In the Old Testament, a great light shone above the tabernacle. And what is being said here is God's glory is visibly present in Jesus Christ. You are seeing the glory of God. Now, I don't think Jesus, when he walked around, usually, except for his transfiguration, looked any different from any other human being. I don't think he looked any different. And yet we're told God's glory was visibly present in Jesus. And we start to see that what that looks like is that Jesus is full of grace and truth. That is how God is shown visibly in Jesus. And it's just a few words, full of grace and truth. Just think about how you would explain that to somebody. You wanted to get across to them, you were desperate to get across to them that they really need to think about Jesus. That's what you long in your heart. And you don't want to put them off. But how are you going to explain? Well, people said about Jesus, you know, he was full of grace and truth. John says he's God's blessing. And one blessing after another comes in Jesus. Fullness of grace and truth. The two things in combination. Not grace on its own or truth on its own, but grace and truth. Not half full, but totally full. Full to overflowing, so that if you had your most favorite snifter or cup of coffee, it was full to overflowing and it kept flowing. And you're going to be asked many times this Christmas, would you like a drink? Would you like a coffee? Would you like a tea? Would you like a whiskey mac? What would you like? Would you like a Christmas cocktail? You're going to be asked that. What's your favorite tipple? And this is talking about fullness to overflowing. Both of them, not one or the other. And it's memorable, says John, that the law came through Moses, our great hero, our great patriarch. But through Jesus Christ, grace and truth has come. There's much more to sing about than about Moses in Jesus. We've got so much to sing about, his grace and his truth. And for those who have discovered the light, and are discovering the light, because it's an ongoing discovery. Darkness doesn't change overnight, as it were. There is a totally different orientation to our lives and topic for our speech. We are aiming to face Jesus, not to run away from Jesus. The way we speak needs to take account of the fact we know Jesus. And if we realize that actually we're just getting back into our old habits and ways, and being orientated by the world, then we need to come back in touch with Jesus and to see that he is full of grace and truth, so much so that we want to be with Jesus, we want to drink of Jesus, and we can really enjoy everything he has for us. Light is not a peripheral issue. It's not something on the edges. And if you think about all the different types of light that there are now, it's so complicated. You want to buy a light bulb and you know, do you want LED? Do you want to, I just get totally lost with it. And you say, well, one that shines bright, not too bright. Do you want white light? Do you want yellow? You know, there's different types of light. But light is not a peripheral issue. It's either there or it isn't. It's either darkness or light. And the light calls us to live in its ambiance. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to light a candle in the darkness. I did that this morning. It was still very dark when I got up. And just to light a candle and to think, well, we're thinking about light in this season of light, it changes everything. And the ambience of light, the way it appears, means its character and its quality. So if you look over there, we've started to put white lights in, which I actually really quite like. In the past, though, it was yellowy sort of lights. And you can see different bright lights here. Light has a character and a quality, and so does Jesus, the light. And he's full of grace and truth. It speaks about his character and the quality of his life. Light, as defined and as visibly seen, as full of grace and truth in the person of Jesus. And of course, it should be seen in us as well, because it starts with these amazing statements, scripture, about Jesus being the light of the world. But then we get the terrifying statements, you are the light of the world. You may be lesser lights and littler lights, but you are to have that same ambiance, that same character, that same quality to your lives. So you and I are to have lives that are full of grace and truth as well, in the person of Jesus, but also seen in our lives. John says we've physically seen Jesus. Now, I haven't physically seen Jesus, but I've seen Jesus so profoundly, it's not just even as good as, I would say it's even better in a way. It's even a more blessed encounter. Jesus, says John, is from God, but he's also in the line of Moses. And the Word of God, the Logos, has become a human being. And that is what we will celebrate this Christmas. That the Logos, the eternal Logos of God, who was there in the Godhead creating, took on human flesh. Now, the Greeks that John was writing to would find this unthinkable, because they thought human flesh was evil. They didn't think you could do good with flesh. But Jews and Christians have always felt that that is not true. God has made our bodies, they are not evil, that they are good and can be used for good. Verse 14, this amazing statement that the Logos has become a human being and full of grace and truth has lived amongst us. William Barclay said years ago that he wondered if this is not the greatest single verse in the whole of the New Testament. It is such an amazing statement. The Word, or the Logos, Jesus, became a human being and full of grace and truth lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. It all hinges really on whether we really believe that. Jesus didn't come just to speak about God. Loads of people have done that, prophets and teachers and others. But he came to show us God, to show us what God is like. And God is full of grace and truth. God is overflowing. That's what his character's like. So what's grace and truth? What is it? Grace is an amazing word. We pray for grace, we pray for God's help. And within it, there are two basic ideas. The first thing, and it's to do with love, is that grace is something that is totally undeserved. We can't earn it, we're not worthy of it. It's a total free gift. God loves us because he loves us. It's totally undeserved. And Jesus comes overflowing with love and kindness. Grace emphasizes our poverty, but the limitless kindness of God. It's conveying beauty and loveliness. And so we sang, you're altogether lovely. And the Jesus that we've come to know is lovely. His kindness and his character towards us. And not just towards us, but God longs for every person to know his grace. I'm afraid even the foulest person on the earth, because that shows I think I'm better than other people. And I think maybe some. God loves us, even though there is much in us that is foul and full of flaws and things that are wrong. God knows you and I through and through, our motives, our interactions, our feelings, the darkness and the light. And God is gracious towards us. And that is seen in Jesus, the grace of God, but not just the grace of God. Together, interwoven, I would say, not even as two halves, but interwoven is truth. And John is always concerned about truth. And that's, I find that good, because I'm always concerned about truth. I can't bear lies or half-truths. And I want to be truthful about myself. And I know that only God knows really about me. Jesus declares himself to be the truth. And Jesus embodied truth. And Jesus communicates truth that brings human beings into the freedom that embracing truth brings. In other words, Jesus shows us what we're really like, and he still loves us. That is the message that we share. And he's not like the sort of friend that says, oh, you're a really nice person. I don't know why she said that about you. That's not Jesus's voice. I recognize that straight away. That's not Jesus. He doesn't talk like that. He tells me the truth. And he tells me it graciously. And he asks me questions. Why did you react like that? Why did you do that? So Jesus brings grace and truth to me in combination, woven together. Undeserved kindness and love. He shows me my poverty and his limitless kindness. He speaks the truth that can set me free, because if I face up to who I really am and the flaws in my character and ask for his grace to change, then there is that potential for change. And that is very exciting. Not just through human willpower, although it will require my resolve to want to do it, but through God's enabling grace. These are wonderful things. You can't use different words. I can't find a secular word that describes grace, because it is a whole concept and ideas and realities. And there is such a lot of mistruth, false truth, lies. Balaji led us in a prayers for the world that made us think about that. We're hearing them every time you know we're spoken to. Here is Jesus, full to overflowing with grace and truth. Not half full, not stingy measures, but full. And the combination of both of these is important. And as we come to communion, this is very, very precious to us, because we come to the one who is full of grace and truth. And it was grace and truth that took Jesus to the cross, and grace and truth that Jesus ministers to us now. And the combination is important. God is not a despot that just speaks the truth. God both loves us when we don't deserve it, but also embodies and communicates truth. And he calls us to live in both grace and truth. And Jesus overflows grace and truth, so that actually we can drink of grace and truth. You can, in your prayer times, experience grace and truth. You can drink of Jesus. Jesus can come in to our lives. He's there, but we can actually experience that grace and truth. If we wait long enough and ask that we may experience the grace and truth of God, I believe that we will. And that's grace and truth through great struggle often and difficulty. We can experience his loving kindness. If we wait long enough, Lord, show me that you love me. Let me know. And he will often take us to a scripture, and it will just cause us to drink of that truth. And grace and truth can fill us both spiritually, I believe, and materially. The truth is not always easy to receive, as you know. It isn't easy to hear the truth. I find it difficult to hear the truth unless it comes from someone I trust. People in society often resent the truth. They will not hear the truth. And even in the church, people will not hear the truth. We don't like to be exposed as human beings. The lies we tell ourselves and the half-truths about our motives can be very painful. And sometimes when we hear Jesus tell us something, it is painful. But he tells us that to take us into a greater freedom from the things that bind us. Truth can cause us shame, and sometimes we want to turn away from God or run away from God, who is true. But he's asking us to stay and look at him in the face. so that we hear him tell us that he loves us and that he wants to turn our darkness of denial into light and honesty and truth. God's grace is able to make us want to hear truth and to be free. God's patience, love and kindness, God's promises of forgiveness and cleansing in Jesus and a new start are wonderful. They make us rejoice. And as we come to the communion table, that's what we're celebrating, the combination of grace and love in Jesus that draws us, and that he is full of truth and grace. His speaking the truth caused his death, but it brought us life. Many times, as I said, this Christmas, you will be offered a drink, tea or coffee, a Baileys, a whiskey mac. But what a shame to miss out on our daily dram of God's grace and truth. What a shame not to be celebrating with the real spirit of Christmas, and to be able to just to know the Lord's presence. I want to read you two quotes about the need for grace, which is love, and truth to come together. One is by Timothy Keller, who's become very popular with all sorts of Christians. And he says this: love without truth is sentimentality. It supports and affirms us, but keeps us in denial about our flaws. We need both love and truth. Truth without love is harshness. It gives us information, but in such a way that we cannot really hear it. God's saving love in Christ, however, is marked by both radical truthfulness about who we are and yet also radical, unconditional commitment to us. The merciful commitment strengthens us to see the truth about ourselves and repent, to change our minds, our hearts, our actions. The conviction and repentance moves us to cling to and rest in God's mercy and grace. We need God's grace and God's truth, and it is embodied in Jesus. Warren Wiersbe, also popular but a bit older, says, truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. It's true to say that truth without grace crushes people. And it ceases to be truth because it's not the whole truth. You say, well, I've told them the truth, but it's not the whole truth. The whole truth says you are flawed, but God loves you. We need the whole truth. Grace without truth deceives people. If people think I can do what I want and keep on doing the same things that are darkness, then we deceive ourselves, and it ceases to be grace. It doesn't set us free. Here's this simple statement: Jesus became a human being and showed us God's glory. He is full of grace and truth. So today we celebrate. We're going to be just still for a moment and just imagining ourselves with Jesus. He's full of grace and truth. And let's see what he offers us. Let's close our eyes. Let's see if he offers us his embrace. I know he won't turn us away. So let's just turn to Jesus. We're about to take bread and wine to remind us that we take Jesus into our lives. But let's just focus for a moment. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Let's just be still.